So this morning, let me introduce myself again, in case there's anyone that slipped in. My name is Sean Searle. I have the incredible privilege of being called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a full-time capacity. I served in the workplace for 22 years. I worked as a senior sales specialist in an organization that data backup and recovery. I was at one stage responsible for that company's growth into Africa, and I managed to take our product from South Africa. Initially, I was looking after Cape Town. I then went to PE, East London, Durban. From there, I was given some responsibilities in Kenya. I then grew us into Mozambique. I grew us into Ghana. I grew us into Nigeria, Kenya. And there was a whole bunch of different countries. And I had the opportunity to go. At one stage, I was managing about a 500,000 rand a year travel allowance. And it was in that place that I was learning about what it meant to speak to people and what it meant to be able to communicate efficiently with people. But also I was learning about something which I'm going to talk to you guys about today, and that something was called devotion. I had to be devoted to the job that I was doing. I had to be committed to it. I had to give everything to it because I was the sole representative for our organization into countries that didn't know who we were. We had no brand awareness in those countries. Nobody knew who we were. No one knew who we were about or what we were about. And God has entrusted me with the gospel. He's entrusted me with the most precious resource that he has, which is human beings, which is each one of you. So whether you're part of this church or whether you're not, welcome, Kitty. You come make yourself at home, yeah? You see what they say? Well, the word says when Jesus' name is lifted high, we'll draw all men and cats unto himself, apparently. So he's coming in and he's going to enjoy the morning. But this morning I want to talk to us about devotion. And devotion is simply described in the Oxford Dictionary as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or an activity. In Hebrew, the word for devoted is mukdash, which means devoted, dedicated, or consecrated. And I think I like that a little bit better. And it's not just because it makes me sound all clever, because I know what the Hebrew word is. But there's something about this dedication, this devotion, this consecration, this being set apart, that I think just really shows what I'm trying to talk about more. And last week, for those of you who missed it, I spoke on salvation. For those of you who don't know what that means, what salvation is, a free gift of God. See, God created the world with a certain idea in mind. Sin found its way in, and all of us, every single one of us, including the man talking on the mic, fell short of the glory and the mark that was set for us by God. And knowing that none of us would be able to find our way back, none of us could do any works that would help us to achieve the perfection that was required, God himself, in the form of Jesus Christ, came down to the earth and died the perfect death, lived the perfect life, died the perfect death, and was resurrected perfectly. And through that, if we will simply put our faith in him, salvation can come to you and me as a free gift. You don't need to put a check down. You don't need to buy it. You simply need to believe. But what happens from there is as we come and we get saved, then we get drafted into his family. And when we get drafted into his family, there's certain things that start to happen in us naturally and should happen in us naturally. And one of the first things that starts to happen is we start to find we devote ourselves to God. And it's something that all of us actually understand experientially. And I'm about to tell you something that's absolutely going to shatter all of your opinions of me. I'm so sorry. I'm not perfect. And after this, you're going to know how not perfect I am. You see, I was very devoted at one stage of my life to rugby. I loved playing it. I loved watching it. I loved reading about it. In fact, at one stage, I had a little blog and I wrote about it. Nobody read it, but I wrote about it. I had it every single year. I would renew the Springbok jersey. You see, because marketing is very clever. They make a new jersey every year, so you have to buy something new every year. I had every jersey for a long, long time. And I'm very embarrassed to say this, and I actually spoke to my wife about it and apologized again. But you see, I so loved rugby that on our wedding day, which is on the 25th of November, which for those of you who understand rugby would understand that that's the end of year tour. That's when the Springboks go on tour to Europe. And on this day, South Africa was playing England. Our mortal enemies. And that was happening at exactly the time that our wedding was going down. So the wedding process took place. We got through all the photos and we got back to the venue and the bar had the rugby on and I grabbed a couple of the boys and we were into the bar and we got so stuck into the rugby that somebody finally had to come to me and say, Sean, the reception is waiting for you. So usually it's the wife that's supposed to be and she's standing outside waiting for me so we can do our entrance into the hall. But you see, I was so devoted to rugby that actually I pushed my wife to one side on the most special day that would ever be in a lady's life. So ladies, I'm sorry, please don't stone me. I've repented and she's forgiven me. She's an amazing lady. But what I want to say to you is that when you're devoted to something, even other things of importance seem less important. Does that make sense? And in Matthew verse 22, 36 to 38, Jesus is telling us something. You see, what's happened here is the teachers are coming to Jesus and the Pharisees are coming to Jesus. They're trying to catch him out. And they say, they're trying to test his knowledge. And they ask him, what's the greatest? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Have you ever loved something with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul? That is devotion. That's not, I kind of like it, and I sort of, kind of, okay, I suppose I can inconvenience myself to come to whatever it is. No. Jesus isn't mincing his words here. He's saying with all your heart, all your soul, and with all of your mind. There is a deep heart devotion. When we are devoted, for those of you, where's our married people? Put your hands up if you're married, if you're in a relationship. Can you remember that time early on in your life when you see this person and ding dong dairy bell, the bells go off and the whistles start and the lightning explodes and it's just like, oh my goodness, I love this person. I want to be with them all my life. And you go to sleep, and you're thinking about them. You dream and you're dreaming about them. You wake up and you're waking up thinking about them. That's devotion. And you see, we can think to ourselves, no, but you know, we can have that kind of devotion to someone that we can see. I can do it because I can see her and she's got beautiful blonde hair and she makes me feel all good about me when she's with me. And I can go, oh, it's easy to love her. But I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a place where the devotion and the love for God can draw us to him. That we think about him the last thing at night. We think about him the first thing in the morning. We long to run into his presence. And for many of us, as we go through our Christian walk and we get busy with Christianity, we lose Christ. You see, because the devotion just wanes. I'm here because, hey, I've got a checklist to fill. I don't want Sean to phone me on Monday and say, hey, Bri, where were you yesterday? I don't want to do that. And I feel like maybe if I achieve X, Y, and Z, then God's going to be happy with me. And God's saying, I don't care about that. I don't care. I care about your heart. I'm devoted to you. You see, he looks at us like that. Do you know that, sir? He looks at you like that. And he's devoted to you. And he looks at you in the morning and he's thinking about you constantly. He loves you. But we live in a new world, right? We live in a post-Judeo-Christian world that's busy. We've got apps and we've got Instagrams and social medias and we've got jobs and we've got all these things. And you're going saying to me, Sean, but I need to love my husband. I need to love my wife. I need to work. I need to do my job. Life's busy, man. I'm tired. I just don't have time to be devoted to God and to the things of God. And I want to say to you, there's nothing new. God knows. He's always known. In fact, you say to me, hey, you want to be a better husband. Sean, I'm concentrating right now on my marriage. I need to be devoted to my marriage. I don't have time for quiet time. I don't have time for church. I've got to fix my marriage. And I want to say to you that in Ephesians 5, verse 25, God gives us, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, as I'm devoted, how can I love like Christ if I don't know who he is? How can I love my wife like he loves if I don't know how he loves? You see, if I don't have devotion towards him and the things that he represents, I can't grow. And I want to tell you something right now. If I'm spending more time with God and if I'm devoted to him, you can ask my wife, I'm a better husband. Way, way, way better husband. I'm sacrificial. It suddenly stops being about me. You see, because Christ loved the church with a sacrificial love. He came and died. He didn't come and stand up for his rights. He came and laid himself down. It was understanding. It was forgiving. You say, I've got work. I'm working on my career not now. I'm trying to build a legacy for my family. What I want to say to you, Colossians says something like this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. The Lord's not against your job. He's not against you having acquiring wealth. He's not against you working to create a career and stability for your family. He's not against that. But he's saying, let it honor me in how you do it. Let it honor me in the way that you work. Let it be done unto me. I ask you, ma'am, are you working as unto the Lord? Do people come to you or run from you? Are you shining the light? Is your devotion being actually demonstrated in the workplace that when people look at you, they go, what is it with this person? The economy is bad. SARS has gone up. The cost of living is up. But this person is just working as if they are never, ever going to stop. You see, devotion to God translates into devotion in your workplace. It's not exclusive. They don't live outside of each other. It's in perfect symbiosis with one another. How many people are tired? See if we've got any honest people in the house. Anybody tired? Okay. Ooh, we've got a lot of honest people here. Hallelujah. Must be a church. You say you're tired. I'm tired. I can't. Sean, I'm so tired in the morning. I can't get up and do a devotional time with the Lord. Oh, Sean, I'm so tired after I get home with work and kids and husbands. I don't have time to be devoted to. I can't even read his word. What I want to say to you, that Matthew 11 verse 28 gives you the answer. It says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, devotion to the Lord is an invitation into rest. It's not an invitation into work. You're not reading the next Agatha Christie novel. You're reading the living word of God that's catered as an instruction manual and an encouragement. It's the best motivational book you'll ever read in your life because it's written by the one who motivated life. He creates life. He is the creator God. And as our devotion extends into our being, we suddenly find ourselves refreshed. We suddenly find ourselves encouraged. We suddenly find ourselves in a place where as we grow in devotion to him, all the rest of the things in our life start to make sense. So the first thing that happens after we come into salvation is we get devoted to God. And I want to invite you back into that. And so we'll make some time for that just now. But the second things that happen is that if you're devoted to me, if you say, Sean, I'm your man, I love you, I'm with you, and you walk into my house and you kick my dog and you trip my kids and you throw all the food out of my fridge, does your words match your actions? And I'll kick you out of my house. I'll forgive you afterwards, but I'll kick you out. You see, when we love something, when we're devoted to something, we're devoted to what they love too. Amen? This morning, Rob and his family here, they're dedicating little Anouk to us. It means something to us. It's not some sort of ritualistic thing that we do. We sprinkle a little bit of water and say, okay, go away, have a nice laugh. That's not it. We're saying, Rob and family, we are with you. We are devoted to what you are devoted to, and we are going to be with you. No matter what happens, we are in, boots and all. And what happens is we get devoted to the things that God loves. And one of the things that God loves is he loves the church. He died for the church. In fact, he says it's through the church that I will make my manifest wisdom known unto the world. So I want to share something with you quickly from Acts 2:42. I'll give you context quickly for those who don't know. What's happened is the Holy Spirit has just come upon man for the first time ever in the upper room. You've got a group of people that are now all of a sudden starting to speak in a language that foreigners that have come to Jerusalem understand. Does anybody speak a language here other than English and Afrikaans? Okay, what language do you speak? Spanish. Okay. So imagine all of a sudden I'm here. I'm speaking and you start hearing me in Spanish. You know I'm not Spanish. You know I don't have any skill in it, but you start hearing. Would you stop and listen to what I'm saying? You'd listen. You'd be like, whoa, hold on, what's going on here? And this is exactly what's happening. These men are proclaiming the gospel on a rooftop and people are hearing it in their native tongue and going, what is going on here? And then from there, people are coming and the gospel's getting preached. And then they're saying, what do you need to do to be saved? And they're saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for forgiveness of your sins. And then what happens is 3,000 people respond and say, we want this Jesus. We want this salvation. And the church gets born. And as the church gets born, this is the model. This is the blueprint. It's not a Josh Gen model. It's not an NCMR model. It's not a 412 model. It's a biblical model. The first recorded churches looked like this. They devoted who? Can I devote you? I can dedicate you. I can't devote you. They devoted themselves to first the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone that as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Remember that? They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily. You see, when we are devoted to Christ, when we are devoted to God, we are devoted to the things that He's devoted to. And here the church was firstly devoted to the apostolic teaching. You see, we do believe that the apostolic grace still exists today. It didn't end. It's different. The grace that exists on the apostles now is not the same grace that was on Peter and Simon and all the rest of them. It was different. But it's a building grace. It's a grace that's able to look at the body of Christ and see where the cracks are and able to see what does this body need. Perhaps this body needs a little bit of injection of a better worship team, because actually the guys are not worshiping God the way that they should. It's not being done in spirit and truth. And they come and they help us. And that's why when we have 412, we're encouraging you. We're saying, come, hear about God. Hear about His church. Hear about how things can be done differently, how things can be done better, so that you can grow in your devotion. It's not a heavy, it's not a conference to come get my blessing and go. It's an opportunity for me to grow in God and to hear from those that have been recognized by men but appointed by God to be apostolic. They're not those that want to lord it over you, that I want to tell you, they want to give you the 10 steps to a happier life. They want to teach you how to take up your cross and die and do it well. The second thing is we see fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. What does fellowship look like? Do you know that we have the church? We have the church, and we have the church. I'm going to help you to see this. You see, the church is where they've got together in homes, in smaller groups, and they fellowship. And I can get to know Albert, and I can get to know Matthew, and I can get to know what's happening in their lives. And when they're not looking good because they've had a hard day's work, I'm there and I can minister to them, I can pray for them, I can love on them. It gives us the opportunity to fellowship in the church. But then we have the church, which is this, where we come together and we all gathered and we have the same thing in mind. We're here to praise God and to celebrate what He's done in this week. And we get impacted and we can do a one, two, more type of sharing, and we can fellowship and drink coffee together. And then there's the church, which is like 412 or the gathering, where it speaks about they came together in the temple courts, which is Solomon's colonnade. Solomon's colonnade could host 50,000 people. They say between 30 and 50,000 people. They would come together as the church. Do you understand? They would walk. There was no Uber. There was no tuk-tuks. It was walk and see more. They would walk for days on donkeys. Their shoes would get worn out. It would be dusty. It would be hard. But they were devoted to the church. Amen? So when we talk to you about 412, we're not trying to get you to something so we can sell some tickets. Heaven forbid, we wish we could do it for free, but things cost money. We want you there because coming to that place gives you an opportunity to grow in the grace that God has put on your life. And 412 comes from, just to give you an idea, it comes from Ephesians 4:12, which means to equip the saints for the works of the ministry. You see, if this church is only built on what I can do, it'll only grow as far as I can go. But if this church is built on what we can do, nothing can stop us. I am not the man of God. I am not the man of power. I am not even, in some cases, a very good man, as you've heard. But I'm trying to get better. And I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to live a life of devotion. We devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. We take part in remembering communion, remembrance of Christ dying for me, his body broken, his blood spilt, so that I could have eternal life and be separated from sin and have victory over sin. We devote it to prayer. You know, I'm going to be honest and vulnerable with you guys. As someone who leads a church, it's very, very easy for my prayer life to become transactional. Because there's lots of you. There's only one of me. So I'm praying for Albert because I know that there's situations happening with him. And I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you. And then there's things that need to happen. I'm asking for grace and all the rest of that sort of stuff. And finally, I've gone a month and actually perhaps I haven't plugged into Jesus once for me. This is not the case, but it could be. You understand what I'm saying? Prayer is communion with God. It's talking. It's having a conversation. It's bringing the things that we can't do to his throne so that he can do it. So devotion to God drives us towards devotion to his church. And then finally, we devoted to one another. And as, if you can just put up Romans 12, verse 9 to 10. It says, your love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Sure, as I read that, this phrase popped into my mind, no man left behind. Has anyone ever heard that? No man left behind. Yes, there we go. She's got it. Where did you hear it? No man left behind. No troll left behind, right? Yeah, she's got it. Awesome. Do you know where that actually comes from? It comes from what I think are probably some of the most devoted people on the planet, and they're not Christians. Some of them are, but they're not all. And actually, it comes from the Soldier's Creed. And I'm going to read the Soldier's Creed to you, and I want to say to you, this is what guys who have willingly put themselves through hell on earth in terms of boot camp and training and having drill sergeants shouting and spitting all over their faces and sweating and getting blisters, and they've willingly put themselves there. And then before they come in and they go to war, this is their decree. And I want you to listen to this and think about, does this tell me devotion? I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army's values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit, and I will never leave a fallen comrade. No troll left behind. I'm disciplined physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and a professional. I am ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I'm a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. Does that sound like somebody who's devoted? That does. I believe that. I believe that that guy goes, I will always put the mission first. If Rian gets shot, I'm not leaving there. Even if I get shot fetching, I'm going to fetch him. You see, that's the kind of devotion that God wants us to have to one another. But the trouble is, you see, in the army, everyone's on the same sort of mission. They've all got the same view. They're all headed in the same direction. Unfortunately, in the church, we're somewhat not like that. You see, because sometimes there's people here that you actually really, if we're honest with each other, you don't like them. When you see them in community, they grate you. Their child is always making a noise. That guy, he sniffs the whole time. I remember when I first got saved and I came in, I was a Philistine, people. I came in and this man was worshiping next to me and he had a terrible voice, and all I could do was to stop myself from headbutting him. Because I didn't know, I didn't understand. I didn't understand devotion. I didn't understand this thing. And God drove some demons out of me later and I was okay. But we're here in this church and none of us are perfect. There's not one. And I'm going to do things that are going to irritate some of you. Probably I've already done it and I'm sorry. But you know what? If you're devoted to me, then you look over that thing. It's not a problem anymore. You see, we're devoted. We love each other because people don't deserve love. Devotion means I love you in spite of you. I don't love you because of you. That's selfish love. I love you because he loves you and he gives you value. We forgive and we fight for unity. There's no room in the lineup when the shots are cracking. There's no room for people to question what the commander says. When the commander says left, they go left. Because if they don't, people are going to die. There's a sense of unity amongst those that are devoted to a task, to a goal. If we need to take that hill, we've got to take that hill. And I can't take that hill if I'm dragging you behind me. I've got to go and you've got to be with me. So we forgive those that sin against us. We're quick to forgive. We let go of those things. We deal with our heart. Offense is taken, not given. Jesus, they pulled his beard out. They put a crown of thorns in. They mocked him. They slapped him. They whipped him. And like a lamb silent before the slaughter, he took it all. Because he knew that he was devoted to the task that God had given him. We're devoted enough to see and mourn those that are not in his family yet. Does your heart still cry for those that don't know the peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ? Does your heart still break for them? Do you still even see? Do you still see? And if you see, are you brave enough to do something about it? Last week we had a young man that got saved here in the back, Brandon. He works at Spur. If you see him, bless him. Bless him, he works at Spur. He came to us while I was sitting with my children having breakfast one morning at Spur, and he came and he said, I just want to say to you, I never had a dad. And to see you as a dad with your kids, I wish I had something like that. And we said, but you can. You see, because God loves to take the orphans and set them into family. Won't you come and visit our church? And it took him 3 weeks, but he came and he got saved. And he's got an eternity with God in heaven now. It's amazing. So my call to us this morning is a call of devotion to God, to the apostolic and to his church and to each other. And this is going to be very cheesy. So for those of you, I don't know, I felt God say that, so I'm going to do it because... So I'd like to do the Soldier's Creed, but we're going to change it. And we're going to make it the Gordon's Bay Creed, this church's creed. And I'm going to read it and you're going to say it after me. And I don't want it to be cheesy because I actually feel like this could be incredibly powerful. You see, one man on his own could have some strength. You can fight me and maybe you'll win. If Rian comes and stands next to me and Arnu comes and stands next to me and Donovan stands next to me and you're on your own, whoa, buddy, you're going to catch a hiding. You will. Because the odds are not with you. These men are devoted to me and I'm to them. We're going to die for each other here. You're not going to win. But together we can do it. If we can get this thing right, guys, there's nothing that stops us. We will see the lost saved. We will see the kingdom of God advance. And we will see the blessing of God in our lives. So I want to ask you, there's no pressure, visitors, you just do you. Please be relaxed. But I want to ask you, if you want to devote yourselves this morning to Christ, to his church, and to each other, won't you stand with me as we say this? You see, when you get recruited by the army and you sign that contract, they own you for 2 years. I don't own you. That would be weird. But we commit ourselves to something. And I want you to think very soberly about what you're doing this morning. You are making a decision. So I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to allow you to say it after me. I am a child of God. Chosen, set apart, and deeply loved. I am a warrior for God and a member of his eternal rescue mission for the lost and the broken. I will serve the people of God and live out biblical values as I see in the Holy Word. I will always place God's mission and instruction first. I will serve like Jesus served. And I will love like Jesus loved. I will never accept defeat. Because Jesus already won the victory. I will never quit. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will leave no man behind. I will love the unlovable. I will forgive those who don't deserve it. And I will encourage those that are failing. I am disciplined, biblically trained, and spiritually tough, and proficient in my spiritual tasks and drills. I will maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself by putting on the armor of God daily. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of Christ in close combat. Not only in my life, but in the lives of others. I am a guardian of freedom, and I will strive to help others into Christ's freedom too. I am a soldier of Christ, more than a conqueror, and I will devote my life to the King and His kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!